Let's do some housekeeping, just in case. You know that there's going to be no demos in this session, right? We're not going to build somebody's strategy live. We good with that? Some people are like, no. I'm just saying that because there's some people that come to the session and they're like, he didn't do any demos. I know. That's why I said it to begin with. No demos. No magic. Nothing but a bold, fat, old Mexican with some good ideas. Is that okay? Yes, I'm Mexican. I will repeat that a couple of times because it doesn't sink in the first time. I look like something else, I know. It's not my fault. It's my parents. I know. Let me tell you what you're going to get in this session and what you're not going to get. Oh, let's tell them that they can let people in any time, because if not, they'll close it. Scare them. Hold on. Puede dejar pasar gente en cualquier momento. Yeah, I don't want to let anybody out. So, yeah. Sí, pueden entrar. So the point is this. Bless you. I've been talking to about 180 companies since about 2 years on their private cloud consolidation, automation, etc. projects, and this is the result of that. So if you're here, if that excites you and that's what you want to hear, then all good. If there's another amazing, salud. If there's another amazing session you want to attend to, I don't get jealous. But I don't like people to get the wrong expectation of what they're going to get or what they're not going to get. I'm going to talk about products at a very light level. I'm going to go into initiatives at a very deep level and strategy. Applied strategy, okay? So, is that good? Everybody happy with that? Cool. Look, I think there should be more strategy sessions in this type of conferences, but everybody else disagrees. So, it is what it is. You win. Come on in. If you don't like it, you leave. Don't worry about it. Should we start? Is it time? Am I early?
1 minute.
Nah, I'm Mexican. I have to be late. Okay. We don't believe in time. So, you want to know what the concept of cloud is in Mexico? Yeah? You sure? That's it. And you know what? If you ask me, we're the only ones who have it right. Because even if Corona is a really nasty beer, this and the cloud, that's the cool stuff, right? That's where you should be going to. Anyways, enough of that. Like I said, we're going to be talking about how, not what my thoughts are, how I've seen about 180 companies be successful or fail in their strategy to get to a cloud. When I say cloud and I don't say private cloud, is because everybody's calling everything differently, right? But I mean mostly private, if you will. So, my name is Eduardo Kastner. I'm the principal enterprise strategy and sales strategy team in Redmond. I've been doing data center strategy and desktop strategy for the last 8 years in Microsoft and probably 20 years in my career. So, pleasure to be here. By the way, you can ask questions, comments, at any point in time, if it's a good, you know, if we can answer it right there and it's something that gives good conversation, then we keep it. If it's something that's just lengthy, we'll send it to the back. Is that fair? Is that good? Feel free to participate. Okay, so why go through the agenda when we can go through the deck? Let's agree on one thing. I've been repeating this slide for over a year now, and I do it because every time I present it, I see people smiling. And you know what? As long as you smile, I feel like I'm doing something good. We have a problem. Either we agree what a cloud is to begin with, or we have a big problem. Because before I started with this whole initiative of going out and talking to people to see what the heck they were deploying, I read about 60 articles and 6 books. And every single article in every single book said blah, 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 cloud. And all I got was the blah, 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 right? It was network, it was storage, it was compute. But if you took the cloud word out, it didn't add anything. Is that fair? So I got pretty sick. I said, this cloud thing is just, you know, Uli back there is going to go crazy on me, but it's like SOA, right? It's a unicorn. Nobody has seen it. Everybody thinks they wrote a book about it. Maybe somebody, my uncle, saw it at some point in time in his career. So I said, why don't we actually agree on what the heck this is? So just the only movement I ask you to do is with your head. You go like this or you go like this, okay? This meaning yes. Stay with me. You can have an optimized, well-managed, consolidated, virtualized, and even automated data center. And in my book, that's not a cloud. Is that fair? You would all agree? Who would disagree? Thank you. Stay there. Stay there. I think you need some of this magic to become a cloud. And I do not care if you need one or four or five or three out of... I think you need some of this. Now we agree better? I think you don't have a cloud because you're virtualized. I think you don't have a cloud because you bought an appliance. I think you don't have a cloud if you did some automation. I think you're going to have a cloud when you get to this concept of units. Let me talk about my cell phone for a minute. When I bought this, I wanted to consume minutes, right? Or in some cases, if I'm less than 20 years old, SMS messages. Fair? What I got was a way to consume minutes. What I get billed every month is minutes. Everybody's happy. So far, this is clear as heck. Are we good? If I have to call, in this case AT&T, every time I want to consume a minute and go into a meeting to define how many minutes I'm going to consume over the next year, and then they do 3 months of planning, 2 months of deployment, 3 months of testing, and then they give me 1,000 minutes because I may need them when I just wanted five, then that's a meeting with IT. Who disagrees? Lie to me, please. I love you, but lie to me. That's the difference between a self-service defined, usage-based, metered service versus a meeting with IT. Is that fair? I just criticized all of us. I was a CIO for 9 years, okay? I ran 36 data centers across 5 industries. I know exactly what that means. So understand, I don't think you have a cloud until you get to some form of standard definition of what a service is, and the consumer can consume it without having more than just consumption. Is that okay? So with that said, A plus B is equal C. It's that simple. Now, are we all on the same page? With this, we can move on. No, the session is not that basic, but if we don't have that agreement between us, I can't continue. Now you see where I'm going? So, what is the offering that you have today? Now, look, I'm not going to make a poll, right? If you want to participate, you participate. If you don't, don't. I don't mind. This is for the benefit of all. I have asked this 180 companies, it says 150 on the next slide, but I'm up to 180. I've asked them, where are you at in this journey to deploy automated services? And so what I did is first I had to define a stack. Now, I don't like the Microsoft stack, with all due respect. I do work for the company, but I like the generic stack, right? It's electricity, facilities, for network, storage, hardware, virtualization, OS, data, application, front-end, and access. Because if you talk to some vendors, they'll talk only this part of the stack, right, lower part. Some will talk in the middle. Some, but when you have to deploy the service, when you have to deliver it, you have to deliver the whole stack. So my first question is, if I press this magic button of a cloud, right, this give me one more minute, what do you get? And so I'm not kidding you. I'm going to tell you the statistics right now. Literally, 88% of the people I asked, and all these are Fortune 5,000 global companies. So they're all the largest companies that you know, okay? And they all said, 88% of them said, I have this service offering, which is just a VM. You go somewhere, you click a button, and you just get a VM. What is just a VM? It's not pre-configured with any OS. It's just a VM, okay? So far, so good? If I ask you right now if you have it, I'm sure at least half of you are not, right? Half or more will raise their hands and I can do this. Remember, this is not I call you and you give it to me. This is I go to a central wherever. It could be a help desk, it could be via phone, it could be via web, it could be via email, but it's automated and I get one VM. The next step is about 10%, so now we're up to 98%, could do one VM with a pre-configured OS for the workload that is requested. So far, so good. Almost everybody there. This is where I start losing some of you. Don't laugh. It's pretty bad. That's the whole point. I'm not kidding. And it's not what you would expect. Not after 2 years where this has been public, right? And capabilities of doing this have been out. So what's interesting is the adoption of this has not been as massive as we tend to believe, because people are taking a lower stack automation approach. Now you see where I'm going? So what's interesting is the next click, which is a full architecture. Now I click a button, I'm going to get a whole core banking system, or a whole marketing website ecosystem with, or a whole CRM, ERP. Now you see where I'm going? I'm talking about multiple virtual machines pre-connected with a virtual network with full processes for production and well-managed. And that is a very, very, very long sentence. Is that fair? You know how many people are doing this in the market? 2%. 2%. And last but not least, I use other examples so that you understand that I'm not drunk with Microsoft Kool-Aid. Facebook, Outlook.com, whoever you want. This is that type of service where I go in, I just register my user, get a login, full functionality, boom. Right? Less than 0.2% of the market are at this level. What was fascinating, and this is, I hope, very clear to you already, is that people who were here were already giving these two services. You see my point? So if you're at the architectural level, you're already giving these two to the specific constituents, specific people who actually requested that. Because you also have to understand that the more you progress in your private cloud or public cloud offering, the more you realize that you have internal audiences and you have external audiences within IT, and that you're going to service most of them. So again, doing a simple stack automation for just virtualization is not going to get you there. Now you see where I'm going with all this talk? So let me keep going. There's something else that is very interesting. There's been a dramatic, dramatic shift that people are trying to justify the project for TCO or efficiency reasons. Let me explain the difference between efficiency and agility in my language, nobody else's. Efficiency is the cook chopping carrots faster, okay? Agility is the guy eating at the restaurant. I have two questions for you. Do you think the guy eating at the restaurant cares how fast the cook chops carrots? He couldn't care less. How cheap it is for him in his operation, he couldn't care less. This guy here wants a good meal. So my point to you is, you, if you're looking for a project to do IT efficiency, never call it return on investment, because you're lying. It's completely total cost of operations. Not total cost of acquisition, which is what everybody talks about, total cost of operations. Now you see where I'm going? Versus this guy here, this is all about efficiency. And efficiency is top line, bottom line, bureaucracy of processes within the company, nothing to do with IT. Nothing to do with IT. So if you want a better analogy, let's say I'm a trucking company, I'm a transportation company, this is how I save gas. This is how I add new trucks to tend to tune to new service lines and offer new services. Dramatically different types of projects. We're making a huge mistake. We're trying to treat all of them like the same thing. And you know what? We're selling them the wrong way, and in a year or 2 years, somebody's going to come back and ping you and say, you know what? You lied to me about the benefit we're going to get. I don't see more revenue. I gave you the million, half a million, whatever. I don't see the revenue. Where is this? Where's the IT efficiency that you showed me for my business processes? Because the focus was incorrect. So let's continue. Technology has driven us to think that all of this is an infrastructure project. And I'm not kidding. I hope you realize it by the end of this slide. It's not. Half of this journey is an infrastructure journey. The other half is an application rewrite strategy. Let me show you what I mean. It all starts with, if your stack is so deeply ingrained all the way to the network, there's no mobility for you. Is that agreeable? But if your stack is virtualized, then you have VM mobility. That's all you get. I know you get this, and I know this is pretty simple. This is the part that gets extremely complicated. What happens when I want to break this into workloads? And I want to actually separate the processing and the data part. You see, that's not something you can subsidize. Because so far, you've been trained for the last 30 years. And please don't tell me you haven't. You've been trained to subsidize the application. Would you like me to give you some examples? Does your application do high availability, or do you do clustering? What is clustering if not a subsidy of the application's focus on high availability? Do you disagree? The point is this. If the application would do high availability, you wouldn't have to do high availability at the infrastructure level. You would do it at the application, but since the application doesn't... Identity, same thing. Security, same thing. You want the nastiest one? This is the ugliest one of them all. Capacity planning. Performance management. Agreed? The application doesn't care about its performance. And it couldn't care less about how much it grows or how much it consumes. Therefore, you have to do it in some artificial method, in some magical wand-waving method. Because the application doesn't understand. Now, what happens if the application would understand? No, I'm not going to future state. I'm going to some applications that today use this. You see, if the application would understand that I'm running on this set of servers, on this data center, and that there's a degradation of service, and that I can move some of this workload to this set of data centers, I wouldn't need backup of electricity. Because as soon as I get degraded, I pull off of this, I divest in this, and I invest in this. Now you see my point? But if the application is not aware, as soon as this fails, I have to, you know, go into the catharsis, into the craziness of how the heck do I move, and now how do I live in a foreign environment that may not have all the interdependencies of the other environment. So you see why we've made it so complex? I hope I'm raising the level a little bit so you don't keep thinking that this is too basic. So what am I going here? This step here is extremely complicated. Because this means you're going to have to go and rewrite your applications so that the processing modules and the data modules are separate and so that you can actually work in now workers and blobs versus data and stored procedures. So I also want you to see in this slide that half of it is a very clear, natural, simple progression for all of us. Is that fair? Just add more automation, add more scripting, add more orchestration, add more virtualization. And you get what? You get a nice private cloud drink. And then halfway through, you're like, well, I would like to get more. You're not. You hit a wall. And the wall is you have to rewrite your app at some point. At some point, your app has to be aware of what the next step is. So let's talk about the different starting points. We've seen about 4 or 5 types of projects worldwide. And all of them are called cloud. I don't know if I agree with that. But let's go through the 5 of them, because I'm sure you're very aware of 1 or 2. But the other ones may strike you or not. The first one is people who are in New York, and I'm not making fun of any of these. Okay, this is actually a very dire and bad example. People who are in New York, and they failed over to New Jersey. And when Sandy, the storm, hit, it hit both places at the same time. So they said, you know what? We can't do this anymore. We can't fail over across the river. We have to fail over somewhere else. But now that we're doing it, let's do it into IT packs or pods. In other words, let's buy these containers with 500, 3,000, 5,000 servers, and put them next to Vegas, because Vegas has something called Hoover Dam, which generates electricity a lot cheaper than New York. So it's a great example, right? This is not a real company. I'm talking about a fictitious environment. But now you understand this is happening today. People saying, I want to reduce my cost of electricity. And they say that, and they buy this IT pack or pod, and they say, I'm in the cloud. And you're like, no, you just bought a whole bunch of servers in a container, buddy. That's all you did. God bless you. And you know what? Yes, you get a whole bunch of benefit. I mean, the benefits are really good, and the benefits are mainly on CapEx and OpEx, right? Reduction of electricity. And it's very, very good. It's tangible. It's a very simple project to do, actually. You put it in, you're saving electricity, that's it. You know, in X amount of months, you've saved your money. The next one is you buy an appliance. I have a problem with this one, because I'll tell you, I've done this analogy for 20 times. If you've ever heard me speak before, you're going to be like, here he goes with his joke again. I'm sorry. It's so relevant. It's crazy. I'm still fat, so this works. When I get thin, it's not going to work anymore. I have 3 bicycles. I'm still fat. You know what happens if I buy another bicycle? I'm going to get another bicycle. You know what happens if you buy another management stack? You're going to get another management stack. No, no, I'm going to be better managed. No, you're not. You're going to get another management stack. Don't kid yourself into thinking that you gain capabilities by purchasing. IT strategy has been a game of purchasing for the last 30 years. And that has nothing to do with your ability to adopt the capabilities, internalize them, and mature your operation. Now you see where I'm going. So your capability to deploy better is because your plan, your strategy is to consume and deploy better. It has nothing to do with how much you buy. What you buy may enable you to adopt faster. I love the people who say, I'm going to outsource and get more. No, I have 2 subscriptions to 2 gyms. This is also true. And I'm still fat. I don't care who manages your bicycles. I'm sorry to say this. You got to use them. And you know what? If you want to get better, you need a trainer. Oh, I'm going to spend less the better I use them. No, think about this. You want to use it better, you got to get a trainer. You want to get even better, you're going to get a nutritionist. At some point, that's even more expensive. But what is the benefit you're looking for? Is it an agility or is it an efficiency? Now you see why I said that at the beginning? You have to decide which is the benefit. And if none of those appetize you, then stop. Keep running your operations the way you are. Yes, I said that. I'm sorry. But you have to go with the business because you know what? Today's business, I saw a statistic that I agree with absolutely, and it's crazy. The chief marketing officer is going to have a bigger IT budget than the CIO in about 5 years. Even if you don't agree with 100% of what I just said, which comes from Gartner, who disagrees to some? I mean, do you disagree completely? Anybody? You see my point? We are at risk for one reason, because we haven't been clear about the benefits we provide. And until we go back to this simple clarity of this is the efficiency we give, it's going to be very hard to keep justifying projects. So let's keep going, because I'm not here to scare. There is a benefit in going into a component and a blade. The benefit is a new house gives you an opportunity to clean house. But it's because you're cleaning house that you get a better TCO. It's because you do some better configuration management, identity management, security management, imaging, whatever. It's not because you bought a new house. And I hate the word appliance for one reason. Because people buy an appliance, for example, VDI, and they use it for whatever else. Then why did you buy an appliance? Just buy some servers, man. So my point is, understand, appliance is a pre-certification. If you're going to use that, yes, go ahead. If you're not going to use that, then don't come and tell me that that gives you any benefit. Because an appliance configured for the wrong workload is just like simple servers. Save your money. You need it, trust me, for a whole bunch of other things. The next one is simple. Virtualization has been, I think, wrongly sold for the longest time. Because virtualization provides 2 things, and only 2 things. It doesn't provide any TCA or any TCO. And this is like, oh my God, what did he say? You clean house once, and that's it. You save your money. That's total cost of acquisition. And we've been selling this thing as TCO. But understand that once you've consolidated, what else are you going to save? Please let me know, because I still haven't figured that one out. So the point is, once you've consolidated, that's it. It's TCA. You don't get more TCO because you're already running faster and you're already running on less and more efficient or better utilized. So what is it? Well, it's integrating the management stack. You see, the problem here, and I'll go into a wrong example. You have brand 1 for configuration management, right? And brand B for operations management or alerting, right? And brand C for central console, fair? And then brand D for service console or ticketing. Am I saying something wrong so far? And then brand F for backup and recovery. And then Y to orchestrate it. You know who's the real orchestration? Eduardo, the magical operator. Because it doesn't matter how much you put orchestration in here. You're going to need 7 hands and 2 eyes on the back of my head for me to see the consoles that you just put in front of me. So what would happen if you consolidate 2 of these? I'm being very humble. I am not telling you buy one stack from Microsoft and it solves all your magical problems. That's a lie. But I'm being very humble and tell you, if you consolidate just 2 of these, what happens? If I at least get the alerts of the configuration management system on my monitoring engine, if at least I could get that, what happens? How much do I reduce? So we did a study. And the reduction in productivity enhancement by just consolidating 2 of these tools is 30%. 30%. I'll give you an example. The largest bank in the world, and I just told you who they are, the largest local bank in the world, okay? They, I didn't say anything. Whatever you say, it's your door. You're not, they found out that 30% of their downtime on branches were coming from disparity, so different, configuration of the branch servers. So just by doing simple configuration management, which you may say, that's not enticing, that's not why I came to this session. Well, but by doing that, they reduce their downtime on branches by 30%. So what I'm trying to tell you is don't miss the basics, because the benefits are still in the basics, because we're missing the basics. Because we're trying to do this very complicated stuff, and we're still missing the basic concept, which I'll go in a minute, which is extreme standardization is the basic for any cloud. Is that fair? So you get this 60%, which is not an additional 60%, but an additional 30 to the original 30 by integrating and doing the management stack. Now, which project are you embarked on? That's my question to you today. Which project are you looking at? Define which is the project. Don't leave it up into the air. Don't just buy a stack and start deploying. Define the benefits that you're looking for, communicate them, set a project plan for that, and execute. Now, let me show you the results of the poll that we did. It says 150, but this is about 2 months ago. I've been actually very busy. And I'll tell you something. What's very interesting is the motivation for the project has been mostly infrastructure enhancement, optimization, whatever you want to call it. And the reason is because the most common cloud project today that I found in the market, this is nobody else did the poll but myself, was IT efficiency. Is that fair for you? Would you say that most of you, that's what you're looking for, or you're looking for business agility? But now look how interesting. 20% business agility usually, 80% IT efficiency. And the people who said cost, it was a very interesting conversation because everybody said, I don't expect cost, I expect it as a result of IT efficiency. But as a result, so as a maturity result, not immediately when I get there, right? If it takes me 6 months, a year, whatever. What was the problem is that we found very few people who actually were already deployed. We found most people who were either in the design or the exploration phase still. But the real concern that I have, and my best and strongest advice to you, and I'm not kidding about this, is please define how this future looks for you. Because my worry is that when I asked, how are you going to measure when you get there? Now, you think I'm just asking a boring question. This is probably the best question I could ask you. How are you going to measure that you got to this incredible private cloud, public cloud, whatever cloud that you're building? How do I know that you got there? What are the KPIs and what is the level of success that you're looking for, and by when are you going to get there? And you know what? 90% of people said, I'm still not designing the KPIs for success. I said, we have a problem. Because how do you know that you're actually going to get to this level? And the KPIs could be whether on efficiency or agility. Let me tell you a couple that I found. One that has been proven to be a very interesting one is IT FTEs. So full-time equivalent of IT, whether outsourced, insourced, or whatever, per server. And then that by workload. Let me tell you how that works. Instead of you thinking of a chart, right, where the SLA has to be above 80%, which is how we usually measure SLAs, think of a dial, right? And the dial says, for my database environment, I want at least between 18 and 32 servers managed per full-time FTE. And I don't care if you're between 18 and 32. That's green. Why? Because more, they're not doing enough, right? Less, they have too much time on their hands. So it's an interesting concept because it talks about efficiency, providing the right quality of service. It focuses on two things. It focuses on performance, but it also focuses on quality of service. Because I'll tell you a problem. What happens if I go back to my cell phone example, right? I turn it on, I click on whatever, call, and it doesn't work. How many chances do I give this device if I can't make a call? What, 3 nanoseconds of patience? And then I throw it and go buy a new one? What do you think is happening with IT? Quality is not a question anymore. Quality is not an option anymore. If we keep providing anything but top quality, we're thrown out of the book. Because you know what? Facebook doesn't fail on me. You see, people are getting used to having public services, which may be a lot less complex or different staffed or different flavored, compare the services to internal IT now. So you don't have an option. You have to deliver top quality. That's why I'm saying you have to drift and change your mentality from SLA that says, well, I can reduce my TCO forever while retaining a certain level. No. I have a band of service that I can provide with a certain quantity of people. You take my people away, this band goes down, your quality goes down. It's a direct effect. It's a different type of mentality. Now, enough of this. Let me tell you what the best practices that we found are. The first thing is we found a lot of people who said, first define the strategy for the unit of measurement. So I don't know if you noticed, I did not talk about how to virtualize or how to automate. It's what is it that we're going to measure? What is it that we're going to deploy? What is our minute analogy? You see my point? Are we going to give VMs? Are we going to give architectures? Are we going to give services? What is it? Once you define that, how am I going to consume it? How is the user going to consume it? And third, how are you going to measure it? Now, most people are saying chargeback. Chargeback is one of the most horrible things you can do to your career. I've been in outsourcing. I was in outsourcing for 9 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you why. Okay? Chargeback means this, and I hope you don't know about this. I go to finance. I tell them, don't give me any more money. Okay? And then I go to the business and I say, you're going to be my best friend. I'm going to charge you for your money. He's going to give you the money for IT. And you know what? All of a sudden he tells you, but I really hate you, so I'm not going to give you any money. So this doesn't work. So the number two way how to do this, right? Give me my money. Everything is good. And we do something called showback, which is I mock bill you. You mock pay me, and we're all mock friends. That works pretty well. I don't care how you do resource management, which is the way I like to call it, because the only good, real way of doing chargeback that I found was in the 70s, in the mainframe era, right? It's called ABM. And if you want a good book, there's a couple of people in the right age in this audience. It's called Activity-Based Management. It's a brilliant strategy. Go get a book on that. It's going to talk about mainframes and PLs and MIPS and whatever, but you know what? Brilliant way to think about it, because it talks about the full spectrum of chargeback. But just be very careful, because chargeback can just totally hinder the way you get funding for anything. So in other words, don't cut your leg to go run a marathon. Okay? Careful how you set yourself for success. So my point here is simple. Once you define this, start with a simple workload. I don't care if it's test dev. There's a ton of people starting on test dev on this type of services. Start on a simple workload you can prove success on. And once you get some good political wind on success, then start building an application catalog. Now, the problem with this word is everybody says, I got to build a complete application catalog. That's a mistake. Listen to me clearly. I never said complete. I just said one. Start with an application catalog that you start building, right? It could start with 10 critical applications. And then you add another 10. And then you add another 10. And then all of a sudden, you have 70% of your 1,500 or 3,000 applications. But if you don't start at some point, you're never going to start. That's the problem here. You have to start at something and say, look, for a cloud services, we're going to start with this 10 apps, and we're going to focus on them. And as long as you have buy-in from the business, we're doing good. If I start speaking too fast, it's because I'm getting excited. You stop me. So far, so good? The Spanish accent is not coming in? I lose it, and it comes in. It freaks you out. Pero sí soy de México. Okay? Good so far? The next thing is, you have to start automating this and standardizing. So understand, unless you have really standard, and I'll talk about this a lot, really standard configuration management, and I can really standardize that unit, it is not a cloud possible solution. What the hell did I just say? Slowly. Look, I come here, and I have a custom solution that I have to call Pedro 7 times and Eduardo 5 times to build every single time. And I'm going to use a self-service portal to do the interface for this and call it cloud. Heck no. Because as soon as you click give me one, Pedro and Eduardo go into 3 months of meetings. It's the same thing. So if it's customizable to such a crazy degree, it's not a cloud, okay? Keep it the way it is. God bless you. It works. If I can standardize it to that degree, and I can get it to the point where I push a button and it actually automates into giving me a standard configuration, and I'm happy with that. Listen to what I just said. I'm happy with what I'm receiving. That's a perfect cloud service, okay? So be careful to say I can grab everything and make it into a cloud service, because I dare you. I've only seen very few implementations, some of them very successful, and give you examples of an SAP architecture being cloud automatable, because the monster is pretty uncustomizable, right? It is what it is. So, but doing reports or doing websites or doing et cetera, there's a lot that are cloud operationalized. Now, once you build this service catalog, you see what I went from is from an application catalog into a service catalog. What's the difference with the service catalog? That I know where to press the button, I get the service. I don't get just the app, I get the service. Because remember, the app would be I get an app and I have to install it and I have to run it. The service is I press the button, I get the full service and a monthly fee for it. Whether it's just resource management, metering. And remember, metering is you're using 2 units of consumption. Okay, and he's like, okay, what does that mean? Well, when you get to 10 units, you and I go to the CEO and ask for $10 billion. I get it now. You see my point? So there's many ways to do chargeback and resource metering. And the last one is simple. This is the point where it breaks. This is the point where you have to decide which apps you rewrite. Now you see where I went? This is the point where just doing some automation, orchestration, and virtualization does not take you any further. This is the point where you have to say, we're going to grab a business line application, and we're going to rewrite it in whatever you want, okay? And start building a cloud, operational ready, burst out, burst in, or burst in whatever model. And this is where you start deciding how you're going to manage capacity, performance, security, auditing in the future. Now, there's a lot of reasons why you would take or you would not take an application to the public cloud. But did you hear me say public cloud? Let me explain 3 things to you. One thing, who has their money in a bank? Don't raise your hands, please. What, you really think that's not a community cloud? God bless you. What do you think it is instead? We just never called it that. But think about it, that's a community cloud. Is that fair? Oh, it doesn't scale out, scale in. It's pretty automatable. It's pretty scale out, scale in, and it's community driven. So there's going to be community clouds. Are those going to be secure? Is the government going to put their hands in them, et cetera, et cetera? Number one, the banking community cloud where all of us have all of our patrimony, all of our money, okay, is highly government regulated, okay? And we all live okay with it. Let's not be innocent. Is that fair? Number two, why wouldn't you want the government to regulate and secure this? I mean, look, I come from Mexico, and in 1982, with tanks, the government took over the banking system. Guess what happened to all of us? We freaked out. So you don't want the government to do that level of insurgency, but you don't want it to have no dependency. So what I'm trying to tell you is, not everything is going to go to the public cloud or to community clouds, but you will have to interface. And whoever tells me here that they're building any type of service that will have no contact with the exterior, I'll tell them you are wrong. Plain and out. Because in nowadays, you need more interface with the outside than ever on any of your systems. Why do you think the 4 trends are social, BI? Where are you going to install social and BI? Or collaboration? Or all this, where are you going to put it? If not on a cloud, whether it be your internal on-premise, your private, your public, or your community. And when I say community, it's because I know that in 5 minutes, there's going to be a healthcare service cloud. Would you agree? Well, there's going to be a financial services cloud. I mean, it's obvious. The opportunity is ripe, and everybody's there. And we're already doing it. And some of them are just going to relabel their services. Why not? Now, what is the journey? The journey is simple. Decide what is your trend. Decide what are your KPIs. Understand where you're at right now. I'll tell you the biggest miss I saw in the 180 customers that I talked to. They do bad automation, really good monitoring, decent configuration management. They don't admit it, and they want to go to the cloud. And guess what? Because they don't recognize the dinosaurs that they have in the closet, like a really poor managed identity system and no federation, guess what? No cloud for you. Let me say this again, because this joke, I said this in Tech in North America, and this guy blogged about this. It freaked me out. Like Eduardo Kelsner said, no cloud for you. I was like, no, I didn't say that. You have to hear the whole talk. But here goes. I'll give you another one so you can blog about this one, make more fun of me. It's all good, right? No standard configuration management, no cloud for you. No automation, no cloud for you. You see what I'm saying? It's rather simple. But how do you get there? By recognizing that you do some of these things really well and some of these things pretty bad. Is that fair? And the bad things, you have to get up to speed before you can go and drive the whole cloud thing. Because it's going to come back and bite you. It's as simple as that. So what we did is we actually went out and designed and talked and agreed with Gartner, Forrester, 100 customers and 100 partners. And we came out with 15 cloud attributes. Everybody got extremely excited. I'm not kidding. And they said, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. And these attributes, what we ended up understanding, and I'll go into them in a minute, is that out of the 14 and 15 attributes, you don't need all of them for your services. You see, you don't need elasticity for every single one of your cloud services. Is that fair? Or multi-tenancy. You may not need auditable on all of them, or measured chargeback. See, different services are going to need different. So don't build for attributes you don't need, because this is an extremely expensive game. In what sense? It's not a game that gets expensive when you buy it. It's like buying a boat. Buying the boat is not that expensive. Try to keep it. And if you live in the desert, it's crazy. See, that's you don't needing an attribute. That's like you don't needing multi-tenancy and buying it and trying to operationally maintain it while you don't need it. It's crazy. It runs you to the ground. So be very careful with this. So let me go through the attributes. We actually started by looking at a whole bunch of analysts, and we found out that nobody agreed with anybody. All the major analysts are here, by the way, okay? I just don't want to put their names up there because I need to ask for permission. And if I ask for permission, they're never going to give it to me because I'm comparing them. So we play a safe game, and we just call them analyst 1 through whatever, 5. But I'll tell you what happened. We started seeing that the idea that they had right was the attribute level. And if I just start at this for a little bit, I'll talk to you about 2 of them or 3. You see, the difference between elasticity and scalability. Scalability is your ability to add and remove resources without breaking the workload. But I never said anything about time. You see, I can break every afternoon, or I can break on the weekends and defrag, refrag, and rearrange. So scalability does not have a measurement on how much time you go down. It just has the ability to add or remove resources without breaking. Versus elasticity is being able to do it without downtime. So you see, this is what we did. We try to get to very interesting, simple, coherent definitions of cloud attributes. And by doing that, would you like me to go through all of them very fast or just skip them because you understand them? Choose A or B. Skip them. Okay, good. So with that, no? What? Oh, go through them. Okay, good. So elasticity, scalability, access anywhere is pretty clear, right? And security is pretty clear. Resource pooling is you being able to consolidate into compute, storage, and network, okay? So if you don't have a standard and you can't do load balancing or you can't do storage aggregation, we have a problem here. Now, if you have 17 vendors of storage in your environment and you're not using Windows Server 2012 R2 because it's one of the few operating systems with all due respect, okay? But with storage pools, you can do things that you could never do before, which is aggregate across technologies. Because before, if you had DAS, NAS, and SAN, it was 3 different disks that you couldn't compaginate, right? So there's a very few technologies like 2012 R2 with tiering and stuff like that. You can do more exciting stuff. But the point here is aggregate your resources so I can start reusing them across workloads. When I say workloads, you want to hear the word services, okay? Interchangeable in my mind. So the next one is multi-tenancy, which is pretty clear, but there's 2 concepts of multi-tenancy that people don't understand. One is called segregation, and the other one is isolation. Isolation is you guys don't know that they exist and vice versa, okay? Segmentation is if you guys blow up, God forbid, they don't get any effect. If you want to talk about this, this is software-defined networking. And the way it works is like this. You can have the same IP as this guy's. You can have the same fiber channel ID of your disks as this guy's. Nobody affects each other, and I can actually do mobility. It's super complicated if you don't have the right technologies. Can I do this running on Windows Server 2003? Excuse me for saying this, okay, but I'm just talking about real environments. Like I said to you, my biggest sin is I talk to about 7 to 9 of you per week. So I don't have an opinion anymore. I just tell you what I've seen. So running this on Windows Server 2003 and 2008 on VMware ESX 4.1, right, being orchestrated by BMC and monitored by HP and having configuration manager and ops manager is not going to work out. Why do you think? Because you have too many cross technologies, gaps, and generations to make any automatable environment out of. Is that fair? Did I talk bad about anybody? They say something bad? Understand, I'm not talking bad about anything. I'm just telling you it doesn't work with such a gap of configurations. That's why I said the way it works is with extreme standardization. So you got to be careful how you set up yourself for this race. So the next stuff is integration and customizability. Integration and customizability, Well, customizability is because everybody that worked on this model, including me, it's three people. We're all non-US, so we don't know how to say customization. So we had to put customizability. You see, if you don't know me, you would have never known that joke. But because I'm one of the grandfathers of this mess. And this thing right there, those two things together mean this, that I can grab a workload, I can move it to a different location, and I can actually separate it. Like you saw the resource of pooling versus data, that's what that means, okay? Metering and chargeback, I explained. With showback, self-service is pretty understandable. Audit and compliance, pretty understandable. Scalability, I explained. Continuity, I explained. Let me just talk 2 seconds about the difference between high availability and continuity. High availability is three disasters. Disaster number one, you break. Disaster number two, I have to move my workload here. That's a disaster for the workload. Is that fair? Disaster number three, I have to exist here for a while. So see, that's high availability. Continuity is, like I said, I'm working across two places, and when I sense that I'm getting a worse SLA, not a bad, just even a little worse, I start divesting and investing. It's a completely different mentality. This has to be done at the application level. It cannot be done anymore at the infrastructure level. The next one, workload relocation, you understand, and service management, I think it's pretty clear, right? So, fair? Let's move on. Let me show you how this works. I already talked about this. You don't need all attributes for all services. And not all services are going to coexist in the same cloud. I was talking to a government entity, and I said, so you're a government entity. Would you want things in the public cloud? No, God forbid. They're going to reside in another country and this and that, and who may have access. And I said, what about your public communications with your constituents, with your public? Yeah, that's public. We don't care about that. And how much do you spend on that? Well, we spend this amount. Wouldn't it be cheaper if you spend the 10% of that and just throw that into the public cloud? Yeah, that makes sense. Never start the conversation with extremes, okay? It's not everything or nothing. It's show me your workloads. Some of them make sense on the public cloud. Some of them just don't. I don't care what secret organization you are. Some of your workloads make sense in the public cloud. Some make sense in a hybrid or social or community cloud. Some of them make sense on your private environment. Some make sense on your on-premise architecture, and God bless you, stop trying to move it. Just manage it well. Is that fair? So with that said, we did a lot of work on what each one of these attributes means, and we did a filter, a template. Let me explain this in a very simple way. How many of you know about infrastructure optimization? We've been talking about this for 7 years, 8 years. Well, I'm not going to go crazy into it. This is very simple. It's a model of four maturities, right? It starts with unstructured, it ends up with Star Wars and Star Trek, okay? Most people in this room are going to be between structured and optimized. Is that fair? I'm using different terminology so that between your reading and my words, you get the explanation. So let me just show you how this works. No, this is not crazy complicated. The model has 87 questions, and we said for continuity, you need 23 questions of maturity. This is agnostic of technology. I'll show it to you in a second. And this filter says, you know what? I know you guys have the ability to read the slide. At this moment, stop. Listen. Wouldn't you agree that to have continuity, you first have to have high availability? Yeah, at least to some degree, right? Wouldn't you agree that you need very high resource monitoring? Yep, to a very good degree. So you see what I'm saying? What this filter is, resource capacity, service monitoring, high availability. You see? What we're saying is you need a minimum of A and B and C for you to have this attribute. So let me show you how this looks. Any of you can go into Microsoft.com/optimization, which is right here, okay? The only link you need. Microsoft.com/optimization. And you click here on the click here to start, pretty obvious. And you get here, okay? And this video is going to show you what I'm going to show you in a minute. And you click here to begin your journey, and you sign in with your Hotmail, Outlook, or Live account. If you don't have a Hotmail, Outlook, or Live account, shame on you, go get one and sign in, okay? It's free, that's why, no other reason. I didn't say get your email here, I just said get one, it's free. Once you have this, you sign in. Now, this was made for partners, that's why it says accounts. But we're exposing this to anybody. So you go in here and you create an account. What does that mean? If you're in a multi-country company, this would be per country or per aspect. If you're in a multinational, it would be per function. If you're in a smaller company, medium size, you could measure the whole company. Be careful not to measure too high up or too high down so it doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Make sense out of it. Why do we ask you? Well, first of all, we don't log any of the information here. So you could sign in as Mickey Mouse and you could put the company as Company X and we don't care. Well, the only thing we measure out of this website is touches. How many people touch it per month? Okay? So how many people use it? That's all. So what you do here is you go in and you create this company. In this example, I create an insurance company. And you say, I'm in the insurance sector in this country and this is the revenue per year. Why do I want to see that? Because that's for ROI benefits and for comparison benefits later on, because we can compare you to your country and or your region and or your vertical. Pretty cool stuff. So we can tell you where you're at versus the other vertical people in your vertical. By mean vertical is financial services, insurance, etc. in this case. So I go in here, and what I'm doing, this is a very cool tool to do assessment. So we have three models: infrastructure, optimization, and application platform. If I go in here for data center management and optimization, I have this aspects. Anybody would like one versus the other? Choose one. Option, okay, nobody chose, so I choose for you. The first one, data center management and virtualization. So I'm going to show you a couple questions, okay? Like I said, 86 questions on this. It's a good afternoon, that's all it is. Number one, the whole model is agnostic. I don't care if you're doing this with anybody's brand. It's all about capabilities. It's not about what you do it with. I'll give you an example. This is as is, so this is what you're, where you're today, and this is where you want to be, okay? So the first question is, what best describes your software and configuration library maintenance strategy? I don't have a strategy. I have a defined strategy, but I do it manually. I do it automatically. I do it governed with a configuration library and compliance auditing. So you say, no, I'm in standardized today, and I would like to be in rationalized tomorrow. That didn't sink in. Let me grab another one. But what best describes your high availability strategy? This is one of my favorite ones. Believe it or not, I wrote this one. So I don't have a high availability strategy. That would be basic. That would be pretty bad. Or I have clustering or hot spares or virtualization. Okay. Or I have geo-clustering, load balancing, virtualization, and dynamically move applications and services across as data, as needs arise. You see, this is more advanced. And the last one is magical, right? Service available during complete site outages, geo-clustering, etc. Okay? So it's pretty simple. Once you finish with this, guess what? I have an x-ray of you. Stay with me again. What can I do with this x-ray? A whole bunch of cool stuff. Now you see where I'm going? I can compare you to your industry. I can do road mapping, because I just did your roadmap, right? If you do your assets. By the way, you're doing this for yourself. Nobody's touching, so it's all you. If you lie garbage in, guess what you get out? But the cool thing is, if you do this, right, I can start doing road mapping in a very simple sense. This is your assets. This is your to-be. There's seven gaps. So guess what? You have seven projects. And it's as simple as that. And I'm sure, I bet you money, you do this today, you're going to get five of the projects you already knew, you already had budget, and you already had a plan for this year. And two, one of them you went into hide and never come back to it, and one that you were totally blind to. And it's pretty cool. It happens. I've been doing this for over 500 customers worldwide for the last 8 years, personally. So I'll tell you, it works every single time. But what about the cloud? That's what we're here to do today. So I go into the cloud, and basically, this gets super, super interesting. Let me tell you what we did with this tool, because this session, in a very big sense, is also about this tool. What we built with this tool is we built something that I think very few people have in the market, which is a very good, simple, coherent, and pragmatic approach on how to build a cloud strategy. Let me explain why. We're asking five questions, okay? So the first question is, what do you want to take to the cloud? Don't take that lightly. You know what? That's the question nobody's asking. They're asking you, let's go to the cloud. Let's see how we get to the cloud. But nobody's asking you, what the heck do you want to take there? Which is the workload? Which is the service? So we could start with a business initiative, but I'm going to start. By the way, you can enter the questions at any point. You can enter at question 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so you can jump any of the steps here. So I'm going to go into the first question, which is which application or service? We build a catalog here. It's not the best catalog. It's not the worst. You see, business applications. That's a pretty decent one. We hired a couple of good consultants. This is very validated. Like I said, 100 customers, 100 partners. It's not too bad. It took us 3 months to do this. Gartner liked it so much that they used it on their conference. Forrester certified this. Everybody's loving this. If you go here, let's say collaboration. So what I did is I said, for this insurance company, I'm going to take to the cloud my call center, my dashboard virtualization, my document record management, media storage, messaging, archiving portal, social computing, and web analytics. Why not? Is that fair? So I say next. Let's say you don't find in that list anything you like. You start in this step then. And this step is, okay, fine. You said you want to take all these things to the cloud. Why? What's the benefit? So question one was, what do you want to take to the cloud? Question two is, if you take it there, what are you looking for, right? What's the benefit? So we build a catalog, and the catalog says, as you can see here, reduced and managed costs, speed and agility, enable IT, et cetera, right? So I picked a couple for you. The first one was Elastic OpEx. What does that mean? Pay per use. That's a pretty good one. The next one would be rapid prototyping. That's actually the most common one where everybody's going to the cloud, actually. And the third one is one that I'm very keen on doing is don't spend your money like crazy. And I don't like my teenage daughter to have my credit card, right? And I took that away. The third one was control cloud sprawl, right? And the last one is, let's say we didn't have anything that you liked. So you can go here and you can create custom needs. And the custom needs, in this case, I created one, right? And I called it Enhance My Claims Application. And look how cool this is. You type here your description, your challenge, your impact, your benefits, and you select which attribute this needs. That's all you're doing. So now you understand exactly what I mean, because what I basically did is I did a filter that I'm putting on top of your, right? On top of your X-ray. This filter says, these are the attributes you say you need, based on whether it be the applications or the benefits you want to take to the cloud. Now, you may disagree with our recommendation, and you may say, you know what? I looked at the attributes that you recommended to me, but I don't care about access anywhere, and I really care about metering and chargeback. Why not, right? And let me take one more out. I don't care about continuity. Okay, so you see where I'm going. I'll just leave it. It doesn't matter. I'll take it off. Like I said, it doesn't matter. So it's an interesting concept. So you select what you want. And this is the fourth question. So now we're into the fifth question. The fifth question is quite simple. And I think it's the most powerful of them all, which is, why not? What's stopping you? And you know why this is the most powerful? Because most people say, yeah, I'll go to the cloud, but I don't trust the cloud, right? Or wait, I don't want to pay for the public service so put it here. You know what? Data protection from unauthorized access, right? How about data protection from loss, privacy, compliancy to external mandated data security policies, adding architectural complexity, or my favorite one, cost of cloud sprawl. If you don't understand what that means in Spanish, that means I don't want to grow like fungus, right? I don't want to grow servers like crazy. That's cloud sprawl. So, good stuff. By the way, by now you all speak perfect Mexican Spanish, okay? We agree? It was a bad joke. You don't have to laugh at them. I say two or three, pick one, be kind. That's all. At least one, exactly. And no, none of them are good, by the way, okay? I know that. That's why I'm an IT speaker, not a comedian. Now, what we did we do here? We did a comparison with your filter. Remember, the X-ray I took of your operations. And now, what you selected for the cloud, and we say, look, the gaps that you have for private cloud are 27. The gaps that you have for service provider cloud are 3 or 6. You're going to be like, I don't get it. Why? Because these guys are going to absorb a lot of those gaps. Now, there's only one problem. The 3 or 6 in the service provider, in the Microsoft cloud, or in the hybrid, don't have a weight difference versus the private ones. So those 3 or 6 could be harder than the 27 on private, okay? Be careful. There's no weight here on how difficult one is versus the other. But let me show you what that means. You see, if I go here into pros and cons, These are going to be based on what you inputted. So there's a different pro and con here versus a different pro and con here. Why? Because one was for hybrid cloud, which needs a lot more regulation, compliancy, and legal, versus private cloud, which is internal to you, so it doesn't need all that stuff. Is that good? The next one, if I show you the map, show me the 27 gaps. So what it says is, and this is based on what you selected. So it says, remember that we said we were standardized on software and configuration library maintenance? You see, this is where you think I didn't know what I was talking about. And I did. Because you said you're in standardized, what you didn't realize is that I picked portals. And portals says you need to be in rationalized, or else I cannot give you resource management. Now you see how we connected this thing? You remember the table I showed you on continuity, where I said there's a filter for continuity? Where for every one of these attributes, we have a filter. And so when you end up select, is this interesting to you? Is this cool work? Sort of? Is this useful? Guys, this is free. This is, how much would you pay for this consultancy? Seriously. I'm not kidding. Even if this is not 100% of what you want. You see my point? There's a ton of work here. A ton of work here. And it's all ready. Now, you think I'm joking as how useful this is? Let me show you something. You go here to generate reports. I'm not going to generate the reports. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you what they are. You can put here whatever you want, but if you put these numbers, number of servers, PCs, and the dollars that you generate per year, we can do a Forrester TEI certified report. It may not be enough, it may not be all the detail you want, but it's actually pretty spectacular. And again, for you not paying a cent for it, it's super cool. I don't know if you know this, but we spend millions of dollars on this model over the years, and last year alone, we spent a ton of money on just building this. So again, making it for free is pretty spectacular. I'll tell you something, you can get the PowerPoint and the presentation on the summary, on the transformation, on the return on investment. Now, let me stop here because I don't have the graphic and I apologize. We actually generate based on the projects because understand, remember that I said 26 gaps? Each one of those gaps is just a transition. Example, software configuration, library, and maintenance from basic to standardized. We understand because we already wrote it down how many steps that takes a consultant or what's the project that looks like. So we actually have that in a library, and we can build a Microsoft project file, which is what that is, a Microsoft project file with the gaps, dynamically build with the gaps that you get exposed to. Now, what is that for you? A 50% file already done. Why do I say 50%? Because you've got to go tailor it. Come on, seriously. But this is better than nothing. This is impressive work. And the last one is a Visio diagram of pure Microsoft Kool-Aid. Okay, this is all Microsoft products. It's the only place in the whole model where all you get is Microsoft products. Everything else is totally agnostic. But hey, it's a cloud architecture for free. Take a look at it. The worst thing that can happen is you like it. Okay? No shame in that. So far, so good. That was my demo, and I promised I wasn't going to do a demo. That was pretty cool, huh? So, no, not cool. Nobody's even moving. You guys are tired. I should have spoken on Monday. too many tapas, huh? Good stuff. I know. So, the steps. Let me just very fast finish the session with a couple motions. The first one is I want to share with you the best practices that I found across this 180 companies. Is that fair? So what did they do? Look, you may have already done all this. God bless you. But there's nothing bad in validation, right? So even if this is just validation for you, it's still pretty powerful because either that or you go talk to 180 people. It's a lot of traveling, I can tell you that much. So the first thing is extreme standardization. Most people don't get this one. When I say extreme standardization, I know one of you is saying, oh, standard configuration management. Hell no. This is you having a standard hardware configuration for network storage and compute. This is you having a standard image build for your OS, a standard image for deployment for your app, a standard method to secure your data and deliver it, a standard method for monitoring, maintaining it, and updating it, and a standard method for deregulating it, decomposing it, bringing it back down. That's all that process is extreme standardization. If you thought it was just a piece of it, that's the mistake. So unless you can standardize the whole process and the whole life cycle of the app, it's extremely hard for you to take it to the most advanced levels of cloud. Is that fair? Would you disagree? So the problem is, once you do that, you now want to do baselining. What's the difference between monitoring and baselining? Monitoring is you monitor, your monitor engine gets full with garbage because it does, right? It gets all the alerts, you don't clean it, you hate it, you complain, it's a cycle, and then you stop monitoring. Okay? I know, I've seen it too many times. Let me tell you what is baselining. You start monitoring. Somebody, whether it be you or somebody else, does cleanup every month and extracts via statistics. Statistics is by hand, okay? It's by somebody who went and studied statistics and has a master's in that in college or university. And they come back and they tell you, I'm not kidding, this is a service that a lot of banks, a lot of financial institutions are using nowadays. It's pretty interesting. And they start telling you, you know what? Every time you had a failure of this server right here, you also had a precondition of failure of these two servers here. Is there a connection? And could we write a script for recovery for that? So they start doing some pre-analysis, some statistical. Maybe you don't have the hands. That's why it has to be either a partner or somebody else. You see my point? This is not something you can do existing. But this is the same thing as you buying a pool, a swimming pool, and thinking that it's going to maintain itself. In 10 minutes, that's a pond filled with frogs and nasty. You need a service to clean it up. You need a service to maintain it. And every couple of years, you got to paint it. You got to drain. You see my point? So this is the difference between acquiring a tool and managing a service. And I know I'm saying something very basic that you get it, but what I'm saying that is not basic is how many of you do pre-condition or pre-assessment statistical of failure conditions and then automation of recovery? Look at everybody. There's not even one hand. That's the point. That's what these guys are doing. I'm not trying to expose you to anything. I'm just trying to say you got to be careful. That's nothing that you can buy from anybody. And don't hate me for this. There's going to be no magic management pack that does that. Management packs and all that initiatives are going to get more and more advanced like you're seeing every time. And they're going to provide you more capabilities to progress into this. But there's never going to be a management pack that predicts your preconditions of failure. There's things that make it easier. And there are already things like pro tips that enable that. Okay? So then you go into SLA management, which is pretty clear. And then this one, God forbid, is from us old people who remember the mainframe era. Before I give to Franz, my friend here, who's the most brilliant engineer we have, almost everything there is true, okay? He's pretty brilliant, but he's not an operator. So he's the most brilliant people we have, and he's operating. And I give him PowerShell, and I train him, and I give him Orchestrator, and I train him. He has everything. What do you think he's going to fix? He's going to fix and he's going to automate whatever troubles his day. Not necessarily what's better for the process as a whole. Is that fair? So what I want is I want this baselining, this precondition, this pre-statistical analysis to come back to Franz and give him the list. Say, hey, buddy, I want you to automate all this stuff. Now you see where I'm going. So the focus here is not only on automation, it's focus on which automation and where. And then I have to say, Franz, I know you're brilliant, but you know what, man? I'm not going to throw your stuff into production just because you're brilliant. I need a pre-condition. I need a pre-environment. I need what we call, in the mainframe era, pre-production. It's expensive. It's a redundant environment. It's nasty to have, but you know what? I want to see all you guys doing orchestrator processes and in the PowerShell scripts and then throwing them into production, nobody breaking each other's stuff. That's not going to happen. You're going to break each other's stuff, and I can bet you 2 out of 3. So the point is, be careful. We need some of that old school mentality. And we need some process libraries, and we need some peer reviews. And all that doesn't come in a product anymore. So with that said, we need to go back to automation orchestration after that. And then lifecycle and self-service. Now, there's a lesson we learned on self-service from a bank, which is pretty spectacular. We threw the self-service portal out. There was this user who came in, pressed the button, didn't get anything, didn't get a notice, didn't get a dashboard, nothing. Pressed again, 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 blew up the data center. Everybody went to him. They said, Franz, what the hell did you do, man? And he said, you didn't never let me know what was happening. So understand, self-service portals without dashboards, without service dashboards, so he clicks the button once, and you send a message saying it's going to take 5 hours, and we charge you 20,000 euros. In other words, press the button at your own peril again. And now he gets it. He waits 5 hours. Okay? So don't think users are that smart and don't think that they're dumb. They're as dumb as your portal is. Is that fair? Last but not least, we can help you because we're building this in the cloud. Why do you think Azure is running on Windows Server now? Because we're building Windows Server to be able to give you that 10,000-to-1 efficiency. This is not a goal. This is not a design goal. It's not exact. It's not specific. It's we're trying to make it into you can manage 10,000 servers by one. Because how many operators do you think we have for Azure? You see my point? We want to make Windows Server extremely automatable, extremely streamlined and efficient, just like System Center. So we're learning from this huge attribute. Now, by doing this, what we're doing really is we're enabling a couple of things. Number one, and I'm going to go into this slide in a second because I know it's too basic for you guys. But I want you to understand our thinking, okay? So understand the strategy here, not the products. I know you get the products. Number one, we're not cutting you at the knees on versions. So we're not giving you version 1 and then version plus and then plus 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 and then triple plus. Every single version has all the capabilities you saw in the keynotes on everything. The only difference is how many Windows servers you can put on top. Standard is 2. Data center is unlimited. So again, we're trying to include all the features on any license you have. So Hyper-V for free gets all the features. It's not like, oh, Hyper-V free doesn't get Replica. You see what I'm saying? This is very powerful because it's a dramatic different philosophy than anybody else in the market. The next one is simple. We don't put consoles and we don't charge for consoles. There's not a console for Hyper-V Replica that you charge, get a charge for. There's not a console for load balancing. There's not a console for management. And PowerShell is not an extra add-on. Now you see where I'm going? It's all part of the whole ecosystem integration. And we're doing this with more platforms every time. And I mean Linux and I mean Unix. And the last but not least is we're putting all the system family into one SKU, into one family, because people were trying one product versus two or three. And the real richness that you get here, and trust me, try it, is by putting two or three of these things together. I didn't tell you all of them. I didn't go into this crazy dream. I just told you two or three. Trust me, you start seeing these things together, you start realizing the hardest thing to show, which is integration. I didn't say automation. I didn't say orchestration. I said integration. In other words, the art of you not having to type the same stuff in three consoles. Because one doesn't speak to the other. Is that fair? So with that said, same thing for Azure. You know how many people out there can say that they have one console, one virtualization engine, one identity management, and one code base for private, sorry, physical, virtual, private, and public? Nobody but us. And that is the power of our strategy. Because if you deploy it on physical, do we treat you as anything less? No. How many are you going to have physical? Some. What happens if you go virtual? Same thing. What happens if you go private? Good for you. What happens if you go to Azure? God bless you. Hey, I want to go to Amazon. We have a management pack for that. I'm not kidding. It is pretty impressive what we're doing in the integration era. This is not the same Microsoft as 10 years ago. I'm not kidding either. So, let me just finish up by saying that everything I showed you, it's the same three products. Everything I showed you is the same subscription. And that's our strategy. And no, I'm not here to talk to you about commercially. I'm here to tell you where we're building. I hope you saw what we're hearing, and because of what we're hearing, how we're building. And what is it that you're seeing? You see, what do you think you get storage pools, and then you get deduplication, you get tiering, and then thin provisioning? You think it's a crazy plot? No. It's so that you can do resource aggregation, because the more you do resource aggregation, the more you are on your way to the, you see my point? You cannot do resource aggregation until you do software-defined networking. I'm not going to say something harsh, but I am. What happens if every time you try to do software-defined networking, you have to do $100,000 a pop? You don't, right? What happened if I add it into the box? And it's for free. Well, you may give it a shot. Start testing it. Anyways, the way this looks, I have 5 minutes for this, but that's all you need because you've seen enough demos. Just look at the integration of this, okay? The way this looks is rather simple. Once you aggregate your resources wherever they may be, because we respect all three environments, what you're doing is you're defining your roles. And this is critical for you to understand how this guy here is going to be the owner of the whole infrastructure. My friend here is going to be the owner of the cloud, which is just a separation of the resources. So he gets a certain part of compute and network in. And then you, sir, here, build the service, the template of the service, and then you consume it. Most people don't understand this four-level chain of value, and that is where I get interested, because the guy who gets the resources is not the guy who builds the service templates. So once you achieve that, what you're getting here is, again, you're cutting out the resources, assigning the roles, and then defining the service template. And the service template could have separate aggregations. It could have physical, virtual, private. It could be some cluster, some load balancing. It can be dramatically different. But what's interesting is while each one of the tiers behaves differently, when I press the button and I instantiate, I only instantiate one instance of it. And then what I do is I don't redefine it. Let me stop here. Why am I showing you the screenshots and not doing a demo? I couldn't do a demo fast enough to show you this. Okay? I don't have to redefine it to go into my configuration management system, because it understands the template I'm deploying. I don't have to go into a different discovery to go into my monitoring system, because my monitoring system understands this is a template already. You see what I mean by integration? I do not need to regenerate, recreate, and rediscover everything on every tool I have, because they talk to each other. Does this work perfect right now? It's pretty darn good. Is it perfect? It'll be perfect. I don't know what perfect is in your definition. I think we're doing an incredible job in this. I'm not kidding. Give it a test. You tell me. But what's interesting there is once I do that and I start with the self-service, whether it be your portal or somebody else's or ours or whatever you want, you create a ticket. We can automate and orchestrate that. And yes, I meant orchestrator or PowerShell, whether it be your technology, your ticketing service, or ours, service manager. And once you get an approval for that, what you're getting is an orchestration process. Did I have to redefine the template? Did I have to rediscover the template? Don't drink the Microsoft Kool-Aid, but understand, grab a couple of these components, test them out together, and see how you don't have to have the friction in between. That's the cool part about our strategy. Last but not least, once you do that, if you want to monitor, we don't need to redefine the whole template. We don't need to rediscover it. And if I want to do application-level performance management, you can do that with Ops Manager today, through what was our acquisition of Avicode a couple of years ago. What's incredible about that is you set points. We can monitor, like, you know, Java, JavaScript, and .NET, and this is agentless. Yes, there's a small performance hit, whatever, 0.2 to 2% from what I've heard. Probably more if you do more, but this can be spectacular for test environments, test dev, and then you decide what you want to monitor in production. But the interesting thing is, I don't know if you got what I said. The same console that can do load balancing based on electricity consumption all the way to the VMs can monitor the application performance of your application. I want to know who else can do that in a stack. Okay, let's finish up. Guys, dashboards, integrated and ops manager. Again, not an extra console. So, self-service again, same thing. Let's finish up. This is a public case study. It's pretty spectacular. I could go hours into this. I'm just going to say it in 2 seconds because I want you to get it. Who here is going to tell me that it's more complicated, their workload, than a core banking system? Is that fair? Core banking system is pretty crazy. What this guy's had was a mortgage bank in Australia. They are a web bank, so they don't have physical outlets, okay? No branches. It would take them 18 months to grab the code base and give it to the developers so they would grab the next version of the bank. I want to see what happens when you go to the business and you tell them it's going to take me 18 months to do innovation for you. So they came in and they created something called a bank in a box. And bank in a box is a pre-configuration of 220 VMs, okay, of the whole banking environment. And they can replicate this environment, yes, God forbid, with Hyper-V and System Center in 12 minutes. Press a button, you get a whole copy. What does this do for the business? They can go into new countries by replicating the Australian code base and just evacuate it. This is spectacular agility for the business. This is a great example of business agility, not IT efficiency. You're going to think it's IT efficiency, but look at the business agility this provides. I'm not going to give you a summary of everything we talked about. We just talked about it, and you were paying attention, right? You don't need this. Guys, it was a pleasure to be here. I hope this was useful. I hope this was not basic for you at all. I hope you realize there is actually dire need for direction in this space. We all know what to do in the nuts and bolts part. But what the hell are we building? Is that fair? So please, do me a favor. If you have any questions, eduardok@microsoft.com. It's a pleasure. The presentation is published on the website. And there's a whole bunch. I showed you the websites, the tools, a whole bunch of learning. Hold on. Thank you very much.